What is up, you guys? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Sunset Drive. I am Anthony Smith, and on this side of the internet, I like to have old and new friends from the entertainment industry. Come on, share some stories, share some laughs, have a good time. So if that sounds like a sweet time to you, then you might want to keep listening. So today we have on the show not only a pioneer on the Broadway stage from Dear Evan Hansen, he's also a songwriter, a singer, and most recently the first non-canon black pizza-delivering Disney prince, a total knight in shining beast suit on Disney Plus's High School Musical, the musical of the series. Everyone, welcome to the show, Roman Banks.
Wow, an intro. Thank you so much. Wow, I really enjoyed that. That
was of really course.
Funny. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time. This was long in the making. I remember I tweeted at you.
You and did.
I was just like, if you ever, because I was a fan like way before High School Musical was out.
Yeah.
So, but all the time when you try to get guests that you like, you always need like a project to promote, right? Because like otherwise, like right. what is PR is weird like that. So I was kind of like, oh, High School Musical, this makes so much sense, like this is perfect. So I'm totally glad you could take the time to sit down.
Of course.
So first things first, mental health checkup. How are we feeling? How are we doing?
I love that. I'm feeling okay. I'm a little mad. I was supposed to watch, so at the end of, I only have enough gym clothes for 1 week, and so at the end of the week, I need to wash my clothes. So I tried to wash my clothes last night, like right before I would need them, or right before, because my laundry in the building is on a weird, like it ends at like 7 o'clock. It's so like frustrating, and then on weekends it closes. Ends at 5. Yeah, oh, it closes. Shoot. Can you believe that? Can you believe the laundry in my building closes? So anyways, 7 during the week, 5 on the weekends. Insane times. And so I went down there at like 5:30 yesterday because that was like my last available window, and then it they were all taken. The guy was like, "Sorry," and I was like, "Okay, buddy." So then I was just like, "Oh, right before I do the podcast with Anthony, I'll go downstairs and I'll start a load."
Yeah.
And I got up a load in the washer, and then whoever was washing before me put their stuff in all 4 of the dryers. So right before this podcast started, I was downstairs. I was like, cool, like I'm going to get myself in the dryer. Yeah, and I'll go after the podcast.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to have to go downstairs after this is over and then dry them and then go to the gym. It's just frustrating. It's small, but it's just like, it's so unfortunate.
That's why you got to look for in-unit washer and dryer. It's like game changer.
I look for it. My wallet... Yeah. Also,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, my wallet's also, like, interesting. It's what is insane to me moving to New York, like, I realize what the fact that what I grew up with, like in unit A, like, air conditioning. Like, I always lived in a house with air conditioning growing up, no matter how big or small our house was. Always had air conditioning. Always had a washer dryer. I very much assumed that was a normal part of standard living, no matter where you lived. So living, like moving to New York and realizing like that is an indicator of like class and like
privilege. Like,
and wealth. If you have a washer and dryer and air conditioning in your apartment, that's like, so you're like doing it. And it's like, that's insane. Like this is a washer and dryer and air conditioning that we're turning into this like, oh my gosh, like, you know, you just got that new job, I guess, because like, the amount of money, the amount of financial increase that goes into adding an in-unit washer and dryer as well as air conditioning to a place, that's like hundreds of extra dollars.
Oh yeah.
That
we don't have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pandemic? Yeah. Maybe before the pandemic, but during the pandemic... No, sir. So anyway, that's insane to me. But I think the next place I get, we're going all the way. Doorman in unit.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
You know, big old sun window. I'm getting it all.
He's going to the 10K apartments. Is that what it's called? The 10K apartments?
Oh my God. Whoa, 10K. I'm definitely not paying 10K a month. That's insane. No.
But have you heard of those apartments?
I have not. I have 10K? Is that like penthouse level? That's insane.
It starts at 10K.
It starts at 10K.
Oh yeah. It can go up to like 30,000 a month. And then you get like a... And it starts like... There's like robots who roam the hallways if you like need water or whatever. Like there's robots who go to your room. It's joking. In LA.
Hold on. I'm telling you. Can you send me one of these listings? Because I just want to fall out.
Right after this, I'll send you a link.
That's insanity. It's insane.
But all the TikToker girls live there. Like Dixie and like Addison. They all live in that
apartment
building. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about this more afterwards.
Sure.
I'm very intrigued.
Yes.
It's a, 100%. I would expect Dixie D'Amelio to make me feel poor.
Oh, absolutely. Even Charlie. Like, listen, she's like 16, could probably buy me out a garage sale.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. She could buy my whole place. She could buy everything I own, probably.
And you know what? Good for her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's difficult because, like, you know, you got to recognize, like, all the TikTokers that have, like, blown up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but, I mean, a vast majority of it is, like, how much of it is talent and how much of it is white privilege? Like, let's be real here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to say Charlie's not talented.
She is.
She is totally talented. But I'm saying there are people on the app who do the same thing as her. With a fraction of the following, a fraction of the attention. We don't even have to get into the dance dealing, like just surface level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how much of this, you gotta consider both when you're calculating, you know, the influence and the following.
Oh, for sure. I could like talk about that. I work for influencers, but like YouTubers. Mm. So like I could get into that so much, but we're going to talk about you.
You work for influencers? What does that mean?
Yeah, like, do you know Colleen Ballinger?
I don't.
Miranda Sings, back in the day.
I do know Miranda Sings.
Yeah, well, she's Miranda. She plays Miranda. She played Dawn on Broadway, like, 2 years ago.
You're so right.
Yeah, on Waitress. I work for her. I do her merch. Like, the Theater Kid stuff that I sent to Larry, I sent that to him. Like, we have a Theater Kid apparel. And then I work for, like, Lily Singh, who's an NBC late night talk show host now. All those cool people, you know?
What do you organize?
I'm their creative director. So, for example, like...
Oh, snap.
Yeah, Colleen and I make, like, all her merch. So that's where the Theater Kid apparel came from. And then Lily, I work for... She has a production company, so I design her animated cartoons. And then...
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And my friend Madison, she's the lead of Julie and the Phantoms on Netflix. And so... I'm making like all her branding for her music that's coming out and stuff like that. So I get to like,
so you do that as well as acting.
Yeah. I kind of put everything out there and
that's
then I produce this podcast. Yeah.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah, dude, that's amazing. Multifaceted.
Thank you so much.
Let's go, Anthony.
You know the vibes.
I love that.
The vibes. Now we're going to talk about you because like we're here for you. You know what I mean?
If we must.
Yeah, yes. We have to. Now I looked you up, right? Because like usually we can find a lot online. There's not that much about you that I found online. And I'm like,
I'm
intrigued.
It's weird. Like I try to navigate this in a way that like helps people feel like they know me, but I'm also not very personal when it comes to being online. I used to be a little bit more personal, but you know, I think the more eyes you feel on you, the less personal you want to be, because at this point, I wouldn't even consider myself famous, but even at this point, it's like everyone's starting to have an opinion, you know, I'm starting to realize that more and more. And I even realized that when I was hanging out with the cast, I was like, they're not always very quick to put something on social media. Like when I'm with my friends, like, you know, I'm probably going to post on my story, like whoever I'm with.
And I
realized the more and more I've hung out with the cast, the more and more I'm like, oh, they don't do that as much. And then like Tim was telling me about, you know, how the first season and how everything that was said about every single person in the first season
was picked apart.
And it took them away from wanting to be so open. And I'm starting to understand that more. So, you know,
Especially season two, y'all, season two, there was a lot of traction around the show. So I can't even how much you think about what you post even more, try to be even more aware.
Totally. Oh my gosh. Oh, totally. Yeah. Sure. And yeah, I mean, I'm grateful to be in a show with so many eyes, but you know, I've seen how that has impacted, you know, the audience and also like the people in the show, like whether that's on set or offset, like it's just a, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just it's something in the air. Not to quote the song.
Come on, quoting. He said
That was
promotion.
totally accidental. But it's just in the air when you walk on set. It's just like, man, like people have so many opinions about the show. People are so theoretical about the show, like and I guess it was more so for me than it is for the actual cast because they're so used to it. But for me, I was like, man, like people say this, people. And then when it comes to like the arena and the arena stuff, like how ready
Dude.
people are to like go to war for their like ships on the show. So
I
it's
got
nuts,
canceled
man.
so quick, man. People were like, "Do you watch the show?" And I was just like, "Yeah, I love the show." And they were like, "Are you Reenie? Are you whatever?" And I'm
Yeah,
like,
it's harmless at
"Hey."
first.
Oh yeah. And then I'm like kind of like, "Oh, well, I watched season 1, you know, I really like Ricky and Nene, obviously season 2." But you know, I was kind of like in the beginning, I was rooting for him, and then people were like, we trusted you, we believed in you." And I was like, "I'm sorry, man. This is a TV
Oh
show."
my God, yeah, it happened so quick. That same thing happened to me. Like I got people, I got
Really?
cast. Yeah. Oh my God, same thing. I got cast and people were like, oh my gosh, like I'm so glad you're doing the cast. Like are you Reenie or Rena? And I was like, what the heck is that? And then they were like, oh, that's if you like support like Ricky and Nene's relationship or Ricky and Gina's relationship. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely like Reenie. And then they were like, what did you just say? Like it was insane. I was like, yo, relax. Like you asked me my opinion, so yeah. And so
They
even stuff like
ride,
that,
man.
now you're like, maybe I should just keep everything to myself at all times. It's very
I just
funny.
don't say anything anymore. I'm
That's
just I've
smart.
ex yeah, I just accepted that, you know what, and people like nip even the episodes that we released, like we had Matt and we talked about you know, his character and possibly Gina. And he was just like, "I think, you know, they're working on the relationship." It sounded like it was not gonna happen at all at the time. And the fans went crazy, like, "Oh my God, it's not gonna happen." I don't know, man. I don't know. It's crazy, but
It's
it's fun
nuts,
that they're that
bro.
invested.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be grateful for that part. You know what I'm saying? And you
For
know, hopefully
sure.
that brings the show new life and continues to bring it new life. But
Oh yeah.
at the same time, and there is a side to somewhat fear about the situation.
That's the internet, baby.
Yeah,
That's you know.
100%.
For sure, but I want to hear more about like your background. Like, where did you grow up? Do you have like siblings? What kind of household did you grow up in?
Oh yeah, totally, man. Well, I grew up in Georgia. Southern boy.
All right.
Yeah, grew up in Georgia most of my life, basically all of my life. We never lived in another state. I have six siblings. We are a blended family. So I
Same.
have two. Yeah, I have two sisters, from my father and my mom, and then my mom remarried, and then my stepdad already had three kids, and then my mom and stepdad had a child, and so there's seven of us total, but there's six siblings, very wide age range. I think it's from my sister starts high school in like 2 weeks. It's so weird. My youngest
Ooh.
sister, it's so weird. She's 13, and then she'll be 14 in like 9 days, and then
Oh, wow.
yeah, I know. And then my oldest sister is in like she's like in her mid-30s, and so it's a wide range of us. But yeah, I've always even when I you know even when it was just my mom, dad, and my two sisters, like family, I was already around so many of my mom's friends with younger children that I always felt like I had a huge family. I will say that it is, people are often surprised I'm really the only artistic one in my family, so no one else really sings or dances, or draws or acts. And I tried to get my little sister into it, but she sings a little bit, but even now she like doesn't really care about it as much anymore. And I'm like, oh no,
We
oh
could have been a
no.
band or something.
I'm like, I wanted to come see your musicals, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't know, maybe she'll have a light bulb moment in high school and everything will change for her. But now she's
You
talking about
know,
wanting to be a doctor like my sister is, and I'm like, ugh, like why
it's
are
a
there so, why
loss.
do y'all, yeah, everyone in our family wants to go into the medical field, and so Anywho, because both my sisters are nurses. One is a nurse, one is nurse-to-be, and then now she wants to go into the medical field. I'm like, goodness gracious. Amazing. But at the same time, I think more black women should be in the medical field, so I'm really happy.
I was just about to say.
Yeah. I'm happy about that in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, that's basically like my background in terms of where I lived and where I grew up, and then I moved to New York when I was 19.
Oh my God. So for like only artistic kid, I can relate to you on that because I'm Canadian, right? So hockey is the thing here.
Yes.
Hockey didn't work out for me. Gotta be honest. Hockey did not work out.
Do you watch the new show on Disney Plus about hockey? What is it called?
Mighty Ducks?
Mighty Ducks. Yes. The continuation of the movie or the world of it.
Listen, I've been a musician my entire life. My grandpa was a jazz player. I played piano like 10 instruments my whole life, and I was always the second pick to hockey. So I think mentally my brain was just like, hockey is dead to me. I can't like can't watch a game. Oh hell yeah. It's dead to me. Can't watch a game, can't watch a movie about it. Like, we were in the playoffs, NHL playoffs, could not watch it. I was just there for the food. I was just there for the food. I honestly
talk about baseball. I cannot.
See? I can't. You can relate.
Yeah, baseball. But I feel like everyone feels that. Because, right, like, you grew up in Georgia, and then, like, you know, people like baseball in Georgia. But also, it's just, like, the whole, like, take me out to the ball game. Like, they're thinking, baseball is, like, this thing. But if you listen close to the lyrics, it's, like, take me out to the ball game.
Take me out to the crowd.
Yeah, okay. Buy me some peanuts and Apple Jacks. I don't care if I never come back. That's the most important lyric of the song. I don't care if I never come back. I think when whoever wrote that was like, this is kind of boring, but I'll eat some food while I'm here. Like you said, like I was there for the food.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted the peanuts and Apple Jacks. 1-2 street structure out at the old ball game. Now he's just telling the rules. But he didn't care if he ever comes back. He didn't care if he ever comes back.
Right.
And that I related to that. That's my song. I'm like, I don't care if I never come back.
And bring it back in. You know, exactly. I feel, yeah. It's like the Super Bowl. I'm mostly there for the halftime show. I gotta be completely honest.
Yeah.
And the wings, you know?
Have you been to the Super Bowl?
No. I do not have the funds.
You said the wings, and I was like, hold on. Has this guy been to the Super Bowl?
No.
But no, the wing specials around Super Bowl time are always key. I remember there was a, we had a Super Bowl. No, we didn't. We had a Game of Thrones party for the finale.
Were you
into the Game of Thrones?
No, but my boyfriend is pushing me to watch it so bad, and dang.
After the fact, it's not as exciting, so I can get not wanting. But when I started watching right before the last season started.
Okay.
Everyone at Dear Evan Hansen was watching it, and they were like, Roman, you got to watch this because we're all gonna watch the last season together. And I was like, bet, Violet, which is like binging it in the understudy room. And I don't know if you remember, I don't know if it was as prevalent as it was in Canada as it was in America, but like,
yeah,
every Game of Thrones, I think they just said yes to every endorsement publicity deal they could. There were Game of Thrones Oreos. Mm-hmm. There was a Game of Thrones Dracarys hot wing flavor at Buffalo Wild Wings. There was a Game of Thrones Shake Shack meal. There was a Game of Thrones, it was on like any, like you go on Spotify, Pandora, like you're gonna see an ad, you're gonna hear an ad.
Couldn't escape it. Yeah.
You could, like, even if you didn't watch Game of Thrones, you heard of something. Like, I'm sure there was like a McDonald's campaign. Like,
it was insanity.
We were embracing all of it. We bought all of it at the theater. We went to go try all of it. We were hooked. And then we would just watch every episode together.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a beautiful time. It wasn't a great final season, so I will give you a forewarning about that. But I will Yeah, but seasons like one, I think it's 1-6 because I can't tell. I don't remember if there's 7 or 8 seasons, but seasons 1-6 are some of the best TV I've ever watched.
Really? See, yeah. I'm intrigued. It's just I watched the first few minutes and then I saw like a graveyard of heads.
It's a lot. Like,
yeah, I don't. My little soul can't take that sometimes. So
let me tell you, it's a lot. And also, the first season is slow because the world is so large, and there's so much to learn that they have to take that first season to teach you everything, or else you're going to be so lost. But if you can get past that first season, my gosh, are you in for a ride? Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'll give it another try, and I'll let you know. I'll let you know if it sticks. If it sticks. Yeah. Now let's jump into you again. We're like at question two, and honestly, I'm not mad about it.
We're just having fun.
Yeah. Okay, dear Evan Hansen.
Yes.
If you haven't watched the podcast, but like people who've been listening through episode one, this is episode 21. We've mentioned dear Evan Hansen in 75% of those episodes. Wow. Literally, I squeeze it into it's my favorite musical ever. I squeeze it into topics all the time. Like we had B.B. Wood, who was on a show with Noah, who played, you know, Evan.
Galvin.
Yeah, exactly. So we talked about that. We talked it's on our merch. We have Waving Through a Window on the back of our podcast merch. Telling you, such big fans. So I already knew you from Dear Evan Hansen. Watch the bootlegs. People don't kill me. I've watched the bootlegs.
There's a bootleg going around right now on YouTube, and I cannot believe it. I also want to say publicly that was my second show as Evan. And it's also there's two bootlegs of me that exist. I know that for a fact. As Evan, there are. I think in total there's like five, which is insane to me. But anyway. Mm-hmm. As Evan, there are two bootlegs of me that exist, and that is my second favorite of the two.
Really?
It's just because it's my second time on, you know?
Right.
You learn a lot in rehearsals, don't get me wrong, but you learn so much more on stage.
Than you can ever learn.
Yeah, because there's an adrenaline that comes with it that changes everything, and then that you have to learn how to, like where to conserve your energy and where to put it out, you know what I'm saying? So you don't end up burning out by the show. Yeah, and so, you know, Evan's it's a monster of a role. And so, and I like my performance, even though I think I only did like 12 or 13 as Evan, my performance, like from the second show or first and second show to like my like last year, like night and day, but you know.
You know what?
I just had to preface that for anyone who's watching the bootleg on YouTube.
We don't endorse bootlegs either.
We don't endorse bootlegs.
We
have to say that. I don't really care. But we have to say we don't endorse bootlegs. Watch whatever you want. But don't endorse bootlegs at all. Mm-hmm. Terrible. Do knock yourselves out. Yeah.
Vile.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Burn them at the stake for sure.
For sure. Now, from this kid who you like gathered all your coins and you went to see Ben Platt in Dear Evan Hansen.
I did.
Very jealous about that. And then you got to play the actual character and you even manifested it with a tweet back in 2017. Mm-hmm. Make me live vicariously through you. Like, walk me through that. I know you talked about it with Sid, but I need to hear it. I need to hear it again.
I mean, look, if you want even more tea, I was supposed to use that money to go to Disney World. I was supposed to go to Disney World with my friend, and it wasn't going to work out with timing. And so I had a friend in college who always went to Broadway Flea Market, and he was like, do y'all want to come to Broadway Flea with me? And then I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And he was like, actually, you know what happened? I was at home for the summer. This was before I even went to school.
Okay.
As soon as I found out I wasn't going to Disney World, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to college in Virginia. Virginia's not that far from New York. So I bought that ticket in like July. And it was I don't remember when Broadway Flea, I think it's in like late September. Because Ben was leaving that November. And so I was like, let me try to find, and the tickets were off the chain expensive. Like,
oh yeah.
When I found $300, I was like, I have to get this. This is like the cheapest thing
I can find.
But I was like, I have to see Ben Platt in this role. Like this, I've heard too much about the role. He's already got the Tony. Rachel Bay Jones has got the Tony. Yep. They won Best Musical. I got to see this thing before it leaves. Mm-hmm. And that was the first Broadway ticket I ever bought with my money. It just happened to be, I didn't know anything about the Broadway Flea, but it happened to be the same weekend as Broadway Flea, and it worked out beautifully because I didn't have to pay for a hotel to go see the show. I didn't have to take a bus up and then come back the same day. My friend got us a hotel room, and so I was like, y'all do your thing today. I got a Dear Evan Hansen matinee. Mm-hmm. And this was back when Ben was still doing the 8 show weeks. It was like this week, like the week I saw him was like the next week was going to start Michael Lee Brown doing the alternating. So that article came out and I was like terrified because I was like, am I not going to see Stephen Platt? Like I just paid all this money to Stephen Platt.
And
thankfully it was like, you know, this starts on this day. And I was like, oh,
thank God.
Thank God. Yeah. I was like, thank God. Thank God. No, obviously nothing on Michael. I just, you know, that was something I planned on doing and I was going to not be happy if I didn't get to see them.
Right. And it's the original, you know. It's, yeah.
We don't have to explain ourselves. So anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him and it was the same thing I said on Sid's show. It was just like on edge of my seat, you know. I remember being so sad when it ended because I think I was so wrapped up in the spectacle that was Ben Platt.
Right.
I was so much watching for Ben Platt than I was for watching the show. I had also watched the bootleg like 5 or 6 times by that point. So
we
I
all
knew
did.
The story.
Right, we all did.
Story, you know, and I was just like, there he is in person. He's like 100 feet away from me.
Right.
It's just mainly focused on that. And then by the time the end of the show came out, I was just like, whoa, like what happened the past 2 hours and 15 minutes? Like, how was it over that fast? But also Ben Platt's, I don't know if you, even in the bootlegs, he does this, but he says those lines faster than any Evan
that's
we've
true.
Ever had. Like the guys and girls who've been in the show since the beginning would talk about like the time difference. Like he would cut 15, like people would have shows like 15 minutes longer than Ben Platt because he would just spit the dialogue out so fast. So anyway, all I'd say, I was very inspired. It was my favorite show. I used to like impersonate Ben Platt. There's so many videos of me and my friends singing the soundtrack. I was in love with cast recording. I was in love with the cast recording and I was in love with the show and the character. And I was just very much like, I would love to play this role. Like people always ask, like, what are your dream roles? And so I was like, yeah, I think that's going to be a dream role of mine. And I wonder if I could be the first to do it. And I was like, well, cause I was like, I can sing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can sing the show. I relate to the character, but I was like, you know, I'm in my freshman year of high school by the time. And this was before like they had started hiring young people to play the role.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, like, in my mind, I was like, they're going to hire an older man to play the role. And, you know.
Late 20s, yeah.
Yeah. Late, either earlier or mid 20s.
Okay.
You know, but I was just like, right now I'm 18. Like, I've never been on Broadway. I've never had a job, a professional theater job. Like, I don't think I'll be the first, but, you know, there's a world in which.
Who knows?
When I get out of college, it'll still be around. And and so, yeah, I mean, that was the understanding. And then when the open call dropped, I was like, oh, I'm doing this.
You jumped on that.
I was like, I'm doing it. And then my roommate was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing it too. And I was like, oh, cool. And then there was this guy at my school who was in callbacks at Dear Evan Hansen. So we hitched a ride with him because he had to go up for like some other thing he was doing. And then, yeah, like, we all went up. I got a call out for Jared, you know, went back. I was in the room for Jared. They asked if I knew any Evan material. I, like, flipped out. Learned the Evan material. Like, did the Evan material. Long story short, you know, obviously, a lot of callbacks later. It happened. But, I mean, like, you know, even it's just crazy. It's just a constant reminder to me, honestly, like one that I really need sometimes that I can do anything I put my mind to.
Absolutely.
Because like sometimes I get too caught up in like, well, this person's doing this much and, you know, this person's younger than me and they've got this going on. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, they can't do things the way you do them, you know?
Yeah.
And like trust in that, like trust in your gift, you know? And so
everybody has their own journey and pace for sure.
100%. And I think, social media makes you forget that because like we show the best of ourselves on social media. And so if someone's constantly showing the best of themselves, you know, often it makes it look like that person, like it takes all the struggle. You don't see the struggle on social media. Like
you see
the top of the iceberg. And so you think, man, this person, it looks so easy for them. Like they're doing this or doing that because you're never going to see all the work that they really put in to get there.
Right.
And so it's so easy to compare yourself and be like, man, why isn't this happening? And it's like, you know, you're in your own world. You're in your own, you're at your own pace. And so, anywho, it's a big reminder. I have a little, like, this artist, John Naus, would send profiles, drawings to the theater. And he drew me as Evan, and it's, like, hanging up in my kitchen. And it's just, like, my reminder that, like, of what that signifies to me. So, anyway, I suck at making long stories short, but that is, it was a dream come true. It will always be a dream come true. So far, it is still the best day of my life playing Evan Hansen for the first time and making history.
I can assume so. Right. And not even just that. Like, I keep hearing, you know, people who watch High School Musical, oh, the first black Evan. I'm like, you don't understand, like, how white Broadway is. Like, you don't understand how, sure, yes, like, first black Evan, that's awesome. But in the space that is Broadway, that is ran by white people, just gonna say it as it is. And right now, 100%. I feel like the fight for representation right now is even, like, stronger than I think it's ever been right now.
Ever.
Since we've 100%. Had time to reflect, right, since it shut down. So to think about that.
Emphasis on fight, by the way. Emphasis on fight.
Yeah, yeah. People are, I mean, but, like, as they should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, like, it's a fight against the powers that be is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And so I think for that significance, like, I'm mixed, so I will, like, even though I can understand a little bit, I will never fully understand. Because, like, even from my perspective, when I go out for roles or whatever, I have just privilege by looking lighter than other people. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Zendaya speaks on it. Any light-skinned mixed, you know, actor will speak on that. There's a big difference. So to me, that's when I discovered you, and that's when I watched the bootlegs. My bad to people who think that's bad. And that's when I discovered you. Then I saw that you did High School Musical, the musical series, and I was like, this is insane. This is insane. So you hung the polo back in January 2020?
Yeah, January 5th, like right after New Year's.
Right. And then High School Musical and the musical, the series got into production around February, March, I believe.
Yeah, I had the job by the end of January.
Okay.
But yeah, I think the first time I went out there was like mid-February to like do a fitting and like meet the cast. And then we officially had started. My stuff had officially started in March, but that was obviously episode 3. So
right.
And 1 and 2 already, they're breezing.
Yeah, they were breezing. And that's, your EP was coming out in March, so...
It was.
Hung the Polo, High School Musical, EP, pandemic.
Yeah.
Talk about a stick in your wheels.
Yeah, well, it was High School Musical, it was Evan Hansen, High School Musical, pandemic EP.
Right.
So I celebrated, like, my EP, like, sitting on my couch. Like, I just had a couch and I just had a TV in my brand new apartment.
In Utah?
No, like in New York. I had moved
the
pandemic started.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, all I had was my couch and my TV. And I just remember, like, playing it on Spotify. And I was like, yay! Like, I was, like, checking it with social media and, like, you know, sending it to people and, you know,
right,
seeing people post about it. But for the most part, I was like, woohoo! Like, my... But it was so weird because it's, like, it was the... No, you know... For me, at least, in the distributor I used, I had to distribute that, like, early February. Like, it was, like, 6 weeks out or something.
TuneCore, or?
I think it was, God, I forget the name. But bottom line, it's, like, a third-party distributor. Like, it's, I'm not signed or anything.
Right.
Indie. And, yeah, exactly. And so, you have to send out a number of weeks in advance. And, like, there was no way I was predicting the fact that what the world was going to look like in a month. And so, like, as excited as I was to share it, I was also, like, I feel so bad talking about this, like, because the world is
in shambles
right now. We're all so scared right now.
Right.
And it's just, like, at the same time, like, as much as music can be an escape, it's also just, like, there were so many other things. There were just so many things going on. And then things continued to get worse and worse and worse. And so I didn't want to just be like, reminder to listen to my music. You
know, right.
Grand scheme of things, like, obviously, I never would have known. Never the time I would have wanted to put it out. But, you know, I'm glad that it's sort of getting, like, a second
life.
Like, yeah, with, you know, the release of If I Can't Love Her. And, you know, people are like, oh, he has music of his own. Like, oh, I like this, I like that. And so... And I'm starting to work on more, you know, so that's...
Ooh, Get ready.
I will say, like, if you liked the elements of Dej, I feel like you're gonna either really love what I'm doing next. Yeah, I feel like you're gonna love it. I don't feel like you're gonna, I would say, like, or you're gonna really hate it, but I don't think there's a world in which.
You're not gonna pull an Anthony Ramos on me?
No, I'm not gonna pull Anthony. No. That's also a really good reference. Because I was not feeling it. And I get it. Like, I totally get it. When he talks about it, he's like, you know, good and bad was a lot of stories from my life, and right. that was important to me. And he was like, you know, Love and Lies, I just wanted to feel. It's a party, you know, people want to go out and, like, feel right. good, and people want to dance, and I was like, I get that, I totally get that, but I was just like...
It's not the same vibe.
It's not the same vibe, and, you know, I feel like when you introduce a body of music, and then your next body is so different,
yeah,
it's just like, your fans are kind of like, where do we go with this, you know
right,
what I'm
right,
saying,
right. And so, like... Right.
For the next thing that I end up putting out, like, I feel like it holds the integrity and the energy
essence.
That I introduced with Dej.
Right.
But it's also a totally different vibe and level of play and level of creativity and exploration that I wasn't afforded or able to do with Dej, because, you know, Dej was really just me learning how to work GarageBand. And you know, bringing
that
in,
was GarageBand.
A lot of it was GarageBand. We changed obviously some songs. When I took it to a producer, we, like, you know, fixed some things up with Pro Tools and brought in some live instrumentalists. But you know, the foundation of it was just built in me learning how to do GarageBand. I wrote Dej because I was artistically unfulfilled at Dear Evan Hansen.
Okay,
no disrespect to understudies, but I was just like, this isn't fulfilling me. Like, watching people walk past me every day to go do a show that I want to be doing. I was like, this
that
is
makes sense.
Not. Yeah, it wasn't, it was a dream of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for it, but it wasn't what I wanted. It's not why I fell in love with acting, to sit backstage and go on when someone has a cough. You know what I'm saying? Like, I fell in love with this because I want to do it. And so, I was unfulfilled, and I was like, I need something else to pour myself into creatively, creatively. And I was like, what's that? That's music. And so I was like, let's just write. And I never intended of putting out an EP. I was just like, let me just write, you know? And pretty soon I was like, oh, I have like 6 or 7 songs. And I was like, I like them. Maybe we can make something with it. And then
there you go. Born. Well, if you need help with branding of your album, just let me know. Shoot me a message. I got you.
Yeah, that might be a thing. We'll see. Thank you.
Of course. Now, High School Musical and Musical, the series, you play Howie, the delivery man at Salt Lake Slices, Courtney's love interest, total Potterhead, and also, spoiler alert, goes to North High. He's the beast over there.
Spoiler.
How did you get...
Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, I feel like I should have said spoiler alert before. If you're watching this, you probably already know.
You probably know.
Yeah. So talk to me about how you got the part.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I left Dear Evan Hansen. I was 21. And I was like, I'm not going back to school.
Okay.
I don't feel like that's what's for me.
The right path. Yeah.
I'm not going to apply for any grad school. And so I was like, I'm just going to audition. I feel like, but I was also scared. I was like, you know, this is the only thing on my resume. And while it is impressive, you know, like, there's not
anything else.
There's not anything else.
Right.
And I'm very young.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was like, where does that lead me? And it was just a moment of trusting in God and just being like, you know what? Like, I believe this is what I was put on earth to do. And I'm going to trust that, you know, you're going to take care of me. I obviously had some money saved, but I was like, you know, it was basically the test of, like, cause I've heard people say, like, it's easy to get your first job, like your second.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. Who's saying that?
We had teachers like that. We had teachers in school who were like, you know, you get the first job, but it's like really the second job that, like, lets you know. So I was like, was this just lucky or something? Like, in my head about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, getting second jobs was like really the thing that was like, oh, okay, like I can do this. Like I'm not wrong in my feeling, like, you know, like this is my passion, but this is also like my purpose. Like this is what I'm here for. You know, and I ended up getting 5 jobs in like 3 weeks, you know, and
as
that,
you should. Yeah.
That blew me away. That totally blew me. Like I was so emotional and I was just like thanking God, like head over heels. And I was just like,
wow,
this is what it's what I needed to feel affirmed in my career path. And,
right,
you know, I had to choose between High School Musical and another, really great show that was going to be on Broadway. And I thank God I made that choice because,
right,
you know, Broadway, you know,
shut down right after. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I always knew it was going to be High School Musical. But I mean, my agent was close friends with Tim a long time ago. And Tim mentioned the part, I think. And then that's how my agent sent it to me, because they're mainly theatrical agents. And so I was like, oh, a TV audition. And I just connected with Howie right away. I was just like, this is a character I see a lot of myself in. And I think this could be a lot of fun. I love his humor and I love his wit. And so I just really had fun with the
material.
With the material. And I ended up getting a call back. I was like, oh my gosh. And so I did a call. Like, it was a very quick callback. Like, I sent it in, and then like at midnight, my agent was like, they want you to retake tomorrow. And I was like, okay. Yeah, I know. And then I sent that in, and then a few days later, they were like, they flew me out to LA. And I auditioned for all the execs. Creatives. Yeah, yeah, creatives and execs. And it was so cool. I was in like the Disney building, and I was like, oh my God, like all these shows, like so many posters.
Yeah,
it was insane. And so, and then like within a little shy of a week later, I had the job. It was like it was January 27th, and I remember that because it was Andrew's last day in Dear Evan Hansen. That's the same day I got the job for High School Musical, and I was just like, "Oh my God!" I like teared up in a Chipotle, and then I went to see. Then I snuck in the building to see Andrew's last bow
performance.
At the time, we didn't know he was going to be a part of the show, and so I was just really excited, and you know, now it's almost over. Like, season 2 is almost over, which is...
It's true.
It's really nuts. Because sometimes, man, it really just felt like, is this ever going to happen? You know, with the pandemic all the hoops to jump through. And so, it's been a wild ride. But I don't know if there is a more perfect show for me to transition out of Dear Evan Hansen and into TV with, while still, like, keeping everything I loved about, you know, the experience.
Oh yeah, for sure. And this is the time. Okay, so I've teased all during this series of podcast episodes. I've auditioned for High School Musical, the musical, the series, season 2.
Oh.
And it was for Howie.
Oh snap!
But you know what? Yeah, but in the best way possible. Okay, so. Story time, because people have been trying to guess. Antoine was written for Andrew, so like I don't know how people did not guess, but I got the email, and it was the funniest thing. Is my agent was like, okay, like here's the size, like I'll call you right after. He was at dinner or something at lunch. I was like, okay, cool. Did not wait at all. Just grabbed my camera, called my acting coach. I was like, all right, let's put something together here.
Yeah.
And then my agent calls me again. He's like, Anthony, the problem is, like, you're a high schooler. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you're 6'5". And I was like, yeah.
You're 6'5"?
I'm 6'5".
Anthony, you, like, just sitting down, you do not... Wait, can you stand up? You do not look 6'5", just sitting down.
I mean, you won't see much, because, like, hold
That's
on.
That's insane. Oh, wait, how long have you been 6'5"? Like, since you were, like, 16 or something?
No, like since I've been like 17-ish or something.
Wow.
Like that. Yeah, so like, hold on. I need to fix that. Well, I'm screwed now. This is it. All right. Yeah, I mean, I'm 6'5", and that's always the issue with me. Like, so he was like, maybe we tape for this, maybe we don't tape for it. It exists somewhere. I still don't know if we submit it or not, but I remember texting my friends when I saw that you got the part, and I was like, I was fucking screwed, man. There was no chance.
I mean, I will say there was a guy, I think he was like, he was either 6 foot or 5'11" at the final callback, but, you know, like, everyone there was kind of between, like, my height and, like it was, that was the range. It was it,
right.
I think the average might have been like 5'7", 5'8" there.
And that's that makes the problem sense.
With like, because you have Josh and Matt who are like, I think they're both 5'11", and so it's just like, obviously they probably want them to be like the big stars of the show, and so you don't want them to, I guess, look up to anybody. And so,
but at the same time, I would have not stood a chance. What do you mean? Like, what the hell? Well,
I don't know. I mean, like, I've never seen you perform. I'm not gonna say.
Oh, you know, you do not.
What is and what isn't? You know,
right.
But I will say, like, that's so crazy how like height. Yeah, it's just like sometimes I'm like, because obviously when I was growing up and all my friends were getting taller,
right?
Than me in high school, I would go to the doctor and I'd be like, so like, because my friends would be like, well, the doctor said I'm gonna be this and the doctor said I'm gonna be that.
Right.
So I would go to the doctor and I'd be like, hey doc, like, some of my friends said, you know, some of their doctors said, like, they're going to be, like, 6'1", you know,
5'11",
blah, blah, blah. You know, what do you think for me? And I remember my doctor was like, you know, Roman, I don't really, like, he was trying to find the nicest way to tell me, like, this is it for you, like, 5'6", is it for you?
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember being like, dang. Like, yeah. I remember being like, I'm not, because I've been 5'6", since I was, like, 13. So at a time, I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'm this height this early on.
Yeah, keep growing.
Really didn't keep growing. And so
I'd give you a couple of inches if I could, man.
I mean, no. Well, now I'm like, cool. Like, I'm 100% chill with it. But growing up, I was like, dang, like, I didn't know it could kind of be used as like a superpower in the sense of like, you can play
younger
teenagers. Yeah, you can play younger. You can play, you know what I'm saying? And obviously one day that'll shift, but for right now, I'm like, yo, this is working.
I mean, right now it's working out perfectly.
It's working for me. You know what I'm saying? when I'm like 35, we'll see what that brings, but like, you know, I'm chilling. And so, it's so weird. Like, no matter how talented you are, like, how the way you look or like the size that you are will ultimately be like a deciding factor that goes beyond your abilities, and like, that's just the biz, you know.
But Roman, you do not understand when I say it. My height aside, I would not have stood a chance. What do you mean?
Like, this I'm not gonna assume anything about you.
I know, but like, I remember I could literally, I'm going to put it on the podcast thing, pull up the text that I sent to my friends when I saw that you got the part. And I was like, oh, that was a waste of time on my end. That was a waste of time. I'm glad you got the part.
Well, thank you.
I would have judged them if they haven't, honestly.
Thank you so much. I mean, like, it's the same thing we mentioned earlier. It's like, what's for me is for me and what's for you is for you.
Exactly.
And we're going to be taken care of in our own right. And so.
Absolutely.
I'm thankful.
I'm thankful you got the part. All right. That's all I'm going to say.
I appreciate it.
Of course. Now, let's talk. You know, you infiltrated the cast like in the middle of the first half, I guess, of them filming the show.
I infiltrated.
I feel like that's good, because like literally on the show you infiltrated the good side. You know, they're good.
That's true.
They're good list.
That's true. I thought I was a super spy. I was a super spy.
And you screwed them over.
You know, in a way, I screwed Courtney's feelings. That I would say.
The disrespect.
Howie screwed Courtney's feelings. It's
I
keep telling people this. Howie had the best of intentions. Okay, the guy wasn't like waiting. He wasn't waiting to like rain on her parade with this news. He wasn't like trying to lure her in. Like, I think it's the same thing a lot of guys do. Like, they see something. I literally was just talking to my girlfriend about something like this the other day, where it's like, you see something in your eyes, it's like not the biggest deal, right?
Right.
Like, but at the same time, like, you don't want that thing to cloud that person that you're getting to know, like, their judgment of you. Yeah, that's so true. It's like I'll find a time to tell them when it feels better and I can communicate it in a, you know, gentle and kind way.
Right.
Where it's like, by the way, I go to the school that you hate the most. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think Howie was truly just waiting for the best time. And then I think they were probably like, hey, we're having a dance off. Come. It's going to be East High. And then he was like,
yeah.
Crap, let me put on this thing. So I, and then that freaking elephant, as he walked away, man.
Mm.
But he didn't, look, he was on the hallway. He could have ran. He could have ran away.
He could have done so many things.
Judgments, but he could have texted her. Off. No. Yeah, he could have texted, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he took the mask off and he confessed in the middle of it all. And he said, let me explain.
And embarrassed said, her. In front of all her friends.
She in front of Nene. In front of me. It wasn't
I guess.
The crew was there. In front of Nene. Nene was like, oh my God, come here, Court. And then he was like, darn it. It's not how I meant to do it. And so I keep telling people how his heart was in the right place, okay?
But he fumbled the bag. That's what I'm saying.
He fumbled the bag for sure. Yeah. Not his best move by far.
Is there any chance that Howie could pull a Camp Rock 2 and join East High at the end of the second season? Or am I too far off?
I mean, like, who knows? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, right. I'm not going to say, like, that world. Because I don't know what world exists, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
I will say, like, you know, like, I'm really talking to my ass here. I really don't know.
Right.
I really don't know. I mean, like, maybe that could be something that happens down the line. I don't. I truly don't know. Like, I'm giving you the best I can here.
Right.
You know, I would just say, like, we're gonna have to see where things go. But I'm excited for the future of, you know, like what Howie looks like in the world of High School Musical, I guess I could say.
I tried, guys. I tried pulling something off. Listen.
I don't know.
He's hard as a rock.
I think the season is less inspired by Camp Rock than people think, because I know people have been trying to make a lot of similarities. But I think,
oh, really? Oh,
I think
Camp
people
Star.
Are going to see that this season is less inspired by Camp Rock. And okay. It really does stay true to, you know, what we introduced it as. It's when, like, press was happening, where it's like season one is about funnier people and season two is about, you know, seeing if those people stay your people and, like, you know, like refining your people, I guess is how you would say.
Right.
It's just like, it's the same thing that happens in high school. Like, you go into high school, you've got all your friends and you're like, this is gonna be the best 4 years of our lives. And then sophomore year happens, junior year happens. Maybe you're not, you know, maybe this person fell off. Maybe this person moved away. Maybe this person, you know, this, that, and the third. But bottom line, it's like, okay, like, who is still family to me? Who is still, you know, who are my people through thick and thin? You know what I'm saying? Like, what does that look like? What does that look like as life changes or life stays the same or I look at life differently? And I think that people are going to realize, like, that's what season two, like, that's the heart of season two through and through.
Right.
I'm excited for people to see how the season ends because
I've been told there's a cliffhanger.
I mean, look, it shocked me.
Really?
And, I'm not going to lie. Every episode kind of shocked me. Every time I was in an episode, I was like, this is going to happen next. This is going to happen next.
Yeah.
And then I'd get the script and I'd be like, excuse me? And so... Yeah. So, you know, I didn't expect it, and I think people are gonna just be, I don't
shocked.
Know.
Yeah. Gagged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All of it. Yeah.
All of the above. People are gonna be all of the, every emotion you can think of is gonna be felt in the next three episodes, I feel. So.
Okay, I already have, like, one guess, and that's Gina told Asher's character, that my first kiss is reserved for somebody who sticks around. And I just know she's going to pull that card with EJ in college. I just know.
Oh, EJ in college?
I don't know if he's going to college, but I know that's... I don't know why, but I feel like that sentence is going to come again with...
Yeah, I am very interested to see what happens with EJ, to be honest with you.
Same.
Because I'm like, he said he doesn't want to go to Duke.
Right.
Does that mean he wants to go somewhere else? Does that gap mean year? He's taking a gap year? That's what I'm saying. Does that mean he doesn't go to college? Because that's becoming a like growing thing in young people. I don't know. Yeah,
TikTok famous? I mean...
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of different facets for people to go into these days. And so I'm interested with what they'll do that also feels authentically EJ.
For sure.
You know, because I feel like he's a very by-the-book kind of person. So like it would make sense that he would go to college in my eyes. But also he's slowly changed. So like his character development has been...
Amazing.
One of the best. Yeah, one of the best in the show.
Yeah.
Since the first season. So it'll be interesting to see... You know, like, if season three happens, like, what does that mean for EJ?
For sure, for sure. Now, we're going to play a game, because Sunset Drive is nothing without a game. And okay. I told people, do not make me sing. And they asked me, we're going to play a singing game, so that's
fine. Oh, my God, we're playing a singing game. Why didn't you tell me?
I mean, you do not need prepping. You do not need...
That's what you think. That's
what you think. No, no, no. I mean...
All right. You know what?
Yeah,
I'll go out on a limb. I like improv.
Okay, so on the, you know, I'm blanking. High School Musical, the musical, the series. There's a lot of talented singers, and a lot of them have their own original songs or very iconic songs from the show. So 100%. We're gonna play "Finish the Lyrics," which we play. Okay. So we played the game with Joe, and he smashed it.
Butter voice.
His voice is amazing. And
Butter voice.
I told him I was just like, we're going to do only Broadway songs, but this time we're going into like some of their original songs.
From High School Musical?
Some of them, yes. Some of them are from, we got some The Climb over here. We have Andrew Barth Thelman's original song, Every Pretty Girl.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So we're going to start with Miss Olivia Rodrigo.
Okay.
I cannot stand her and her talent. It's just out of this world.
It's crazy. It's insane.
So I'm going to sing like one or two lines because I would play the song, but I would get copyrighted. And the proceeds from this episode are going to the Actors Fund. So if I get demonetized, I'm shooting myself in the foot. It's all about in what key, because you have a very high range. And listen... I don't have that range, okay?
Well, when I'm warm, my range can, you know. Well,
okay.
We'll see.
Okay. Well, see. Here it goes. Okay.
Yeah.
Dang it. I didn't think this through. Okay. So, first song. Sing two lines, and then you finish what you think is the rest of the lines.
Okay. Right. And I'm supposed to sing it. I'm not supposed to talk it.
No, you're supposed to sing it.
I'm supposed to sing it.
Okay. You betrayed me, and I know that you'll never feel sorry.
For the way I hurt, you. I know it's like the way I hurt.
Yeah.
I know that you'll never feel sorry for the way.
I hurt, you talked to her.
You talked to her. I don't know.
Dang it.
I know that's Traitor, right?
Traitor. Okay. Yeah.
But
I don't know.
Man,
here's the thing. I listened to Olivia's album, and I was like, this is beautiful, but it's so sad.
And it is.
Personally, I'm at one of the happiest times in my life. I'm very much the type of person who like listens to music that reflects like their state of mind. And so I've just been like jamming to like all my favorite tunes. And so like the one I will listen to is like Jealousy, because that's got like that.
Oh yeah. That, had a good bass.
Exactly. But like everything else, like oh my God, love Olivia, and I'm so proud of her. But like right now, I just
it puts you in the feels.
It does. Yeah. Like I almost cried listening to the album the first time. I was like, I can't come back to this right now.
You know what?
But she's killing, and good for you, obviously. It's
good for you. You know? I mean, the entire album, the Livvies will shred you apart for that one. But you know
They will.
It's okay. She's sitting.
I'm a fan. Look, I'm a fan, regardless. Right. Regardless. But you know what I'm saying? We gotta recognize the subject matter is very sad.
Yeah, yeah. And she's sitting on her world records. So I mean
I think she'll be fine.
She'll be just fine.
Without one more streamer throughout the month. I think she's gonna be okay.
She'll survive, all right?
Yeah, you know.
Next song. We're going to the Joshua Bassett side of things.
Okay, I'm a little more familiar.
Okay. I need to remember how it goes. Okay. I know what you said about me. I hope that it makes me happy.
Can't seem to get me off your mind. I know you're lying through your teeth. Told him the lies that you told me. I've had enough of it this time.
He was lying to me. Yeah! Lie. Come on! Yeah, that one you knew every word. I mean, it's a lot happier.
Joshua also played me his... He played me his EP when I was in Salt Lake.
Oh.
And the first time I heard Olivia's music was...
When it went out?
Yeah, when it came out. And so a little bit... I had a little more time on that one, you know what I'm saying?
For sure. I should have just played you Driver's License. I mean, at that point...
I would have gotten Driver's License for sure. Look, Driver's License, good for you.
Deja Vu.
Favorite crime and Deja Vu, I got on lock.
Anything favorite crime. Else? Okay, throw me some favorite crime. Throw me some favorite crime. All the things I did.
I can do the chorus, yeah.
Yeah.
Just so I could call you mine. All the things you did. Well, I hope I was your favorite crime. Your favorite crime.
Such a good song.
Yes.
Ooh, okay, he's in range. He went low. He went low. Okay. I very much enjoyed that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course. Now we're going to Andrew's song, which I really do like that song.
Yeah, and very pretty.
Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah. It's Dear Evan Hansen.
It's very theatrical. Andrew has written so many songs that, like, y'all haven't heard, but, like, the way he understands musical theater so well, and I hope y'all will get to hear, like, because he's written songs for himself, but he's also written songs that are, like, for shows that he's worked on or is working on. The way his understanding of it amazes me. And I'm like, you really know this genre. And like, you know, that's reflected in the dynamics of Every Pretty Girl. And
of course, I'm
very happy for him. And I'm very glad people are, you know, digging the music.
His range in that song, like, you know, it starts out like so soft that at the end, like he goes like these riffs and I'm like, how?
Oh, the boy can riff.
Now
we know that. The boy can riff for sure.
We're going to do the beginning part of the song because I cannot go into the riffs. Otherwise, I'll just fall flat on my face. I live between distractions. I always make a mess. They say it isn't perfect.
But I won't settle for less.
I
knew it was something less. Oh, I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? The second part?
You lost me.
I lost you. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You lost me.
Oh, gosh. Dang it. Well, I knew it was less, but I don't think it was... Whatever. Anyways, I don't know.
He knows the song. He dreamed.
And then what's the pre-chorus? Nah, I don't know. I'm not going to get myself in more trouble.
Yeah. We're not going to screw ourselves up like that.
Yeah. I know the chorus.
Go. Hit me with the chorus.
What? I always say stuff and then I... I'll whenever I sing it in my head, I go, the morning or the evening star, in the eye of the storm is every pretty girl.
Yes. All right. Next song. This is, I think, one of my favorite songs from the soundtrack of season 2.
Okay.
It's the Joe Serafini's The Climb. So
I got this.
You know what? I'm not even gonna sing it. You just go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, dang it.
Well, I mean, like, I knew it from Hannah Montana. Like, I knew it from the original, you know. And so I was.
It's
so
always gonna be another mountain.
Always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes you're gonna have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's a climb.
Okay.
It's the climb. Oh, God.
See, that's my range. That's where I'm at. It's the low
one. It's a climb. I like, then you must love Joshua's new song from episode 9.
literally the next song is
Are you serious?
Yeah, Josh's lower register is something else, man. Like yeah. So, the last song. I love you so much and I gotta let you go. It gotta last forever.
And I hope you find better. Yeah. Can't pretend we ain't broken.
What?
Together. Well, I've gotta let you go.
Yes, that song wrecked me, man.
Yeah, man. That song is beautiful. They gave me a good one.
If the only note I have for that song is they should have done like an edit of all the like Ricky and Nene scenes together.
Oh my god, no. People cried enough.
Yeah.
People have cried enough.
If that somebody's been listening
so
to that.
Sad.
Sony, please make a version of that. I want to see it. I want to sob.
That would have been so sad, though.
And I
know. You know what it was for me? Like, it was his mom, like, listening from the outside and then just being like...
Yeah, but I hate
because,
her.
Like, look, Lynn doesn't have the best rep. Lynn doesn't have the best rep on the show. And what she did at the final performance was messed up. Like, don't ever do that. Like,
oh, yeah.
What were you thinking, Lynn?
Yeah, Lynn.
But at the same time, like... You know, I feel like a lot of parents will try to connect, and then if it's still not there, they'll just shy away. But what I love is in the episode, like, we see her make so many attempts.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Like, you know, she recognizes she fumbled the bag, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But also, she's trying to, like, find that bridge, you know? And at the same time, she respects his space.
Yeah.
So, like, I think the way... she's showcasing that episode really shows a lot more of her heart, and I really enjoyed getting to see like their common ground be explored, but also like that conversation that needed to be had was, you know, it was had. And
I really
like the way this show teaches healthy communication.
Yeah, that
so
part.
Often in, yeah, so often in young adult shows we see. And don't get me wrong, the show has its fair share of miscommunication.
Ricky Nene.
But I think when it comes to like the really important moments, like talks with your parents or like the breakup, like, you know, like moments that can be so messy that can end up in like worse situations than how they started, have gone very like have come from a place of empathy on both sides.
Right.
And I think that's just something I'm not used to seeing in these types of shows.
That's true.
You know, and if it is, it's like a corny line of dialogue followed by the like,
want sitcoms.
Like, yeah, and like a hug, and you're like,
yeah.
But yeah, this feels more real. It feels more like how things would actually happen, you know, with your actual mom going through like. The lines of a divorce or like your girlfriend that you really do love that you're like trying to make it work, but you realize maybe I'm not what's best for you anymore. You know, it's, I think it's impactful, you know, to the younger generation.
If I can't love her, you know what I mean? There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap up the episode with like last two questions. Cause I've taken enough time out of your day of laundry.
Oh, I've been having a fun time.
I'm glad
I do need to go dry my clothes.
Yeah, you go. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
So not shying away for this. I love theater. I really do.
Yeah.
Now there's like a rise of live action remakes of musicals. Now we have Dear Evan Hansen about to come out that I've already cried at the trailer.
Yes.
We had The Little Mermaid about to come out.
Oh my god, I cannot wait.
Rachel's
West Side Story.
West Side Story. Rachel Zegler.
Snow White. She's on a roll.
Nothing less. Shazam, also that girl, like what?
She's on a roll.
For sure. What?
Shout out to Rachel.
I love Rachel, and you know what? Colleen, my friend, is so close to her, and I'm just like, if you ever have a party, you know, and you invite her, let a guy know.
Rachel's, I don't know Rachel. We've had a few interactions across social media, but one thing I love about her is like how much she, you can tell, like, she really does love Broadway, and she really does musical theater and the culture of musical theater, and like the way she supports just like the Broadway community, and the way she interacts with them, it's just always warmed my heart to see, and the way it's like goes back and forth. It's just, I'm really happy for her, and I'm really proud that like these things she's worked so hard on, like they're finally going to be able to work back for her. Cause like, I can't imagine filming West Side Story with Steven Spielberg and then having to sit on it for like four years.
I mean, by the time she got cast in production, filmed it. And then the year and a half of pandemic plus like now the trailer's out, but the movie's not out yet.
Movie's not out for a minute. It's just, like I feel for her. And then like the way like she like couldn't, there was so much like she could do, but there was so much she couldn't do because of it. And
right.
So like the way I feel for her, and I'm just so glad that that is being shared with the world. And like,
oh yeah,
it's, she must feel like a piece of bread in the oven. Like that, like, your time is coming. Like,
your time is
coming, and you are going to be so amazing when you're ready. But like, it's like we're waiting.
And oh,
like,
yeah,
she already knows. Like, she filmed it. You know, she already knows how good it is. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah,
so she's just like waiting for us to see how good it is.
And I cannot be more excited.
So we could eat it all up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited.
I'm super excited for her, but I want to know if you can remake any musical into a live-action movie. That's my first part of my question. Second part of my question is, out of all those movies that are about to come out, which one are you the most excited to see?
Most excited movie musical coming. What do we have? We have...
Dear Evan Hansen.
It's Little Mermaid for sure. It's just the fact that we're getting
Hallie
as Ariel. That is everything I need and more. If I could make any and it be done very well, I would have to say I would have to say maybe Ragtime.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, I feel like that story, it's weird because at the same time, like, I don't want any more musicals where we see people being racist, you know, like, I think, I mean, that's a very big part of Ragtime, you know, the racial tensions in Ragtime, so,
right.
I would love to see that, but at the same time, it's just, like, I also want to see a black bodies shine in all of their worth, so I'm trying to think, what is a musical that would do that so well? I'm trying to think,
this is a hard one, I'll give you that.
It is a hard one,
yeah. I would love to see Hadestown.
Oh my gosh. Wait, Hadestown would be amazing. I never even thought about that. I don't know why I didn't think about that.
That's the one I have right now in my brain that I'm like, live. Even Hamilton, you know, they did like the movie of the, you know, the play, but that it would translate very well to like a movie as well.
It would, but I'm so protective of that show because it's
the
show that got me into musical theater. I just think like it's so perfect on Disney Plus the way it is. I'm just like,
do not touch it further.
Yeah, I'm like, don't fucking touch it.
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I was gonna say Once on This Island. I think that is like,
ooh, yeah.
With how crazy like that show is, I think putting that in, like doing all the movie magic, like embracing that fully for everything you could do in a movie, that would be so cool to watch, because that show is just, oh man, that show is gorgeous. And like, I feel like in some instances it would probably almost work better for the film than it would for the
series. Oh wow. I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong.
Cause there's, I mean, like, you know, like it's the same thing like Hercules, you know what I'm saying? Like you're exploring these like gods and like their power and like their massiveness, you know, and you know how that affects, like how they influence the world on Earth, and like, you know,
so forth.
And I'm just like, that dynamic would be so cool to see in Once on This Island, you know, and how they can really like make that into like a, oh my gosh, like this is so stunning to watch, know.
Oh yeah,
I'd
vouch for it for sure. And I'm piggybacking off of that. If you could bring any normal movie, like right now we've seen during the pandemic, like Bridgerton made into a musical.
Oh,
we saw Ratatouille. Oh yeah.
Normal
movies
made into musicals.
What would you make a musical of?
Oh god, I wish I had put more thought into this. The very first thing that came to mind was Little Rascals, but I also feel like that would be ruined if it became a musical.
Okay, okay.
So maybe
I'm still waiting for La La Land, by the way. I'm still waiting for that on Broadway.
That would be good. That would be good. I'm trying to think. Okay, honestly, Greatest Showman would be fine. On Broadway, that would be fine.
I'm surprised they haven't done it yet.
Think about it. Like, if they really, like, went all... If they, like, made a Pippin out of it, like, got the performers who are trained, who can also sing, and, like, made the spectacle of it as cool as, like, the actual content of it. And the soundtrack just slaps. Oh, man.
Honestly, Vegas.
Greatest Showman in Vegas?
Oh,
I'd
hell
go.
Yeah.
I'd go.
Right?
Yeah,
same.
100%.
Same.
I would totally go.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm glad we agree
on
this.
Greatest Showman by answer. I'm locking it in.
Locking it in.
Final answer.
What is that? The bank? What is it called? What do you guys call it? The banker?
I'm sorry. I use that as Deal or No Deal. I always think when I'm locking something in. Because they guess it. And then he's like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I'm locking it in.
Yeah.
Boom. And then they...
The lights. Yeah.
That dates me, though. Because Deal or No Deal has been off the air for a while. But I loved that show growing up.
I don't know why my brain went to The Banker. I think that's what it's called.
I mean,
like
they might. Oh, because you're seeing a briefcase.
But it's like you accept the deal. Like it's like a glass like cube
box.
And it's like, do you accept the deal? Yeah, and then you're like, yes.
Yeah,
you
for me, that's Deal or No Deal with the box.
Okay,
like, the little cube that they boom is like,
right. And everything changes. Well,
yes.
Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me.
Of course,
talk about all the things. This was such a blast.
I had a great time.
Thank you. That's always the goal. I like to, for people at home to feel like they made friends out of us. And
oh, yeah, for sure.
I feel like that's we accomplished that today. So where can people check you out, look out for?
Roman W. Banks on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. That's where you find me. You can look out for, I'm going to say, I don't want to say music because I don't know when that's going to actually come out, but
better
I will
be soon.
Say that like...
Better be soon.
I will say that, like, you can trust that that's in the works, and yeah, and you can look out for, you know, I don't know, whatever God's got in store for me. I'm also looking out for, you know, whatever's next. But
you said you had five acting jobs booked in that first week.
Well,
so,
you know, that was pre-pandemic. Was
okay,
a little more options.
Yeah.
But you know, we're trying our best, and also it's just like I'm for the first time I'm really just enjoying life for what it is, you know, and so. I'm excited for what's next, but I'm really
good.
I'm sort of at peace with where I am as well, you know? And so that's always really great to have. And yeah, I'm, you know, I'm like no rush, but also soon would be cool.
So, yeah. I mean,
you'll know when you know, and I'm also not one of those actors that like, when they do get something that like just teases it and doesn't talk about it.
Wait till I
see this thing that I'm working on that I can't talk about. But when you find out about it, it's going to be amazing. I'm not one of those kinds of people. So
right.
You can trust that, you know, when there's something you'll know,
everyone
will know about it at the same time. And I won't be like, you know,
secretive.
To, like, it's so extra to me. So
for sure.
Anyway. Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming onto the show. Thank you, everybody at home, for listening. Make sure to check us out on all the social media stuff. Always a good time. I'm Anthony Smith.
I'm Roman Banks.
And this has been Sunset Drive.